Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. Dave Ennett with former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We join you every week, and hard to believe that we're headed down the home stretch now. Dan, three quarters of the season gone. It goes by so quickly, and I guess that's true every year. Some years it goes a little faster than others, quite frankly, and in some respects this has been obviously a longer year from a one-loss standpoint, but kind of an interesting day Saturday. How you doing today?
Pretty good. A little under the weather. Probably stayed at the game too long with that wind and rain, but all good otherwise.
Well, then if you're going to be in Minnesota this weekend, as we are, where I believe the high on Saturday is going to be 30 degrees at Huntington Bank Stadium for the Cats and the Golden Gophers. More on that, but... Well, what do you take away from that Ohio State game? I mean, I walked out of there feeling a little encouraged compared to what I'd seen certainly the week before in Iowa.
Yeah, agreed. I think, you know, we're never, as former players or folks that are affiliated with the program, really interested in, you know, moral victories.
Right.
But I think the defense played really well for the most part, and the run defense specifically, to hold up that well against Ohio State for as long as they did was impressive. Obviously, it was a little tougher to throw the ball when you're going into the win, but even still, I thought, you know, the pass defense was pretty good. I guess I was still a little disappointed in the offense and kind of, you know, the play calling at some points. I understand being conservative when you're going into the wind and running the ball, but I feel like a lot of the Wildcat stuff was telegraphed, and especially, you know, in I think it was the fourth quarter when they had the win, they still seemed pretty conservative, which was frustrating, especially, you know, in a season like this. You'd think they'd, you know, down a couple scores or whatever it was at the time, air it out a little bit more and try to get Brendan Sullivan a little bit more comfortable. But it felt like it kind of slid into run, pass on third down, and that's just not going to be a recipe for success for a younger quarterback.
I wonder if some of that might not be in part impacted by what Ohio State did a week earlier against Penn State when it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, and yet they explode for 28 points in rapid succession. And, you know, that I think would cause anybody to think twice about getting out of your comfort zone, given their explosiveness.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it really just goes back to what are your goals then? Is your goal to lose by 7 or 14, or is your goal to win?
Well,
so I think that was my biggest problem with it, right? Because a loss is a loss. It doesn't really matter if you lose by 40 or 1. So you might as well go for it in the fourth quarter. And if they rattle off, you know, 28 straight points because you're too aggressive trying to win the game, then whatever. I think that happens. So I guess that was just my biggest issue with it.
You know, the one thing that stood out to me in that game, Dan, was the fact that it was the first game all season and one of the few games the last 2 years where Northwestern did not turn the football over. And given the conditions that day, neither did Ohio State, and Northwestern has gone, they haven't gotten a takeaway since the Penn State game, which is also kind of remarkable. But on a day like that, to finally hang on to the ball, you would think that certainly enhanced their chances of staying in the game. And look, it's a 14-7 game well into the fourth quarter until they finally scored that extra touchdown with about 4 minutes to go.
Agreed. I think that's a huge positive. It shows, you know, what happens when you take care of the football, right? You stay in games with, you know, probably one of the best teams in the country, right? So I think it's even more proof that if you take care of the ball early, stay in the game, you're going to have a chance to win in the fourth quarter, which they kind of did. So hopefully that gives them confidence going into the future games, and we'll see where it takes him.
Well, let's see what our friend Adam Rittenberg thinks about that. Adam is senior writer for ESPN, who follows the Wildcats and the rest of the Big Ten and the rest of college football all over the world. Adam, thanks for jumping on with us. What do you take away from the Northwestern Ohio State game last week?
Good to be with you guys. Yeah, it was a hard game to draw firm conclusions just because it was so impacted by the weather. And, you know, there's been weather games, as Dan knows, at Ryan Field, but when you have a wind that's that howling and obviously some rain, it just changes the whole complexion of the game. I thought Northwestern's defense, you know, hung in there as best that it could. It's really hard to defend Ohio State, even though the Buckeyes were shorthanded. And, you know, to Ohio State's credit, they made some adjustments. C.J. Stroud is not much of a runner, but he needed to be in those conditions, and he certainly hurt Northwestern with his legs later in that game, and Northwestern just didn't have a whole lot offensively, which has really been the case for much of the season, to answer that. So, you know, much like the Penn State game, I think, you know, you can look at it as a positive, but I think the bigger concern is if those games were normal weather, does Northwestern even keep it close? The evidence this year says they probably don't. But, they did do some positive things in both games.
Of course, the evidence this year is that not too many teams keep it close against Ohio State under any conditions. And you're right, they were shorthanded. Smith and Jigba has been out most of the season, and Travion Henderson was out as well, their starting running back on Saturday. Adam, you wrote a piece this week, Five Steps to Rebuild Five Struggling Programs on ESPN.com, and the five institutions that you wrote about were Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Stanford, and Northwestern. All fine institutions, but there are two that kind of stand out because of their similarities and the fact they've kind of gone into a tailspin around the same time period, which is basically from 2019 on, and that's the Wildcats and Stanford. Do you see a lot of similarities between what's happening with those two programs?
Dave, I see a ton of similarities. In putting this together, it's truly striking when you look at the success that both programs had for much of the past decade. You have two coaches who are alums of the school. You know, Fitz is obviously a more distinguished on-field player than David Shaw, but David Shaw was a receiver for Stanford. And, you know, both guys have had, you know, historic success as head coaches of their alma maters. Both guys have been pursued by the NFL and said, no, we're going to stay put and continue to do good things at our schools. You know, both guys are paid very well, let's be real honest, but they have two of the better contracts in college football, and they're both struggling right now. You know, Stanford has really not been right since the end of the 2017-2018 season. They did go 4-2 in the pandemic shortened year, but didn't have the year that Northwestern had in 2020. But if you look at 2019, 2021, and this year, there's a lot of similarities with the on-field results. And I think there are some parallels going forward in how they address things, both of those coaches. They've both been really loyal to their assistants over the years, in some ways in good fashion, but also perhaps to a fault. There haven't been a lot of changes on their staff. They've sort of pushed on, and also neither guy has really faced the type of pressure that you normally do at Power Five schools. You know, you struggle the way that Stanford has and that Northwestern has. Sometimes you don't have a choice as a head coach. You are forced into change, and that hasn't really been the case for either of those head coaches. So it'll be interesting to see. They both have been in these roles for a long time. But they haven't really faced this level of adversity. And it'll be fascinating to see what both Fitz and David Shaw do after the season, unless there's some surprise turnaround here in the final few weeks.
Adam, thanks again for joining us. For those folks that are too cheap like me to pay the $9.99 or whatever, I got hit by the paywall when you were coming on. What are the steps Northwestern takes to kind of get out of this? I think I have my own opinions. Front and center is some accountability on the staff. But what's kind of the recipe for Northwestern, and I guess Stanford in the same question, but specifically for Northwestern?
Well, Dan, you're not as bad as the coaches who asked me to email them the stories, and then I just text back their salaries to remind them that they could spare a little bit of money to put my kids through college. But no, it is a lot of what you think. It's certainly looking closer at the staff. And both coordinators, honestly, in Northwestern's case, I think need to be evaluated as to whether they should go forward or whether they should change, because I don't think either coordinator has made a huge positive difference since they've come on staff. And there's obviously other factors that go along with that. I think Northwestern needs to look hard at the quarterback position. You were part of a run of quarterbacks in the first decade plus under Fitz who were very effective. Northwestern didn't have a quarterback problem until the departure of Clayton Thorson, and quite frankly, it's been a mess since then. Other than Peyton Ramsey in the transfer portal, Northwestern has missed badly with its quarterbacks, and we'll see if Brendan Sullivan can be that guy going forward, but by no means should they just stop there. They need to reevaluate the offensive philosophy. They need to evaluate the quarterback recruiting and development, and even their transfer process. Because I've always said that Northwestern needs a running quarterback, and that they didn't really have that earlier this season. So the other thing too is, and this is similar to both Stanford and Northwestern, is the reality of the transfer portal. I mean, every program is having to deal with this in some form or fashion. And I'd say for both those schools, it's a net negative, meaning that it hurts them more than it helps them. And I don't know if there's necessarily a solution, because it's really hard to get transfers in at Stanford and Northwestern. But I think the more conversations and outlining that can be done at the administrative level to say, hey, this is how it is in college football right now, we could be losing players every year just naturally, and if we're not able to replenish them at certain times of the year and be really aggressive at times in terms of adding players from the portal, it's going to hurt our product going forward. There's really good teams that lose players into the portal. It's just how it goes now. And so that's something that certainly needs to be addressed. But I really think it's quarterback, it's coaching, and figuring out an offensive philosophy and a defensive philosophy that's going to get Northwestern back to where it was not that long ago, but it feels a long time ago. In talking to coaches around the Big Ten, they said they used to hate going against Northwestern, especially when Mike Hankwitz was there as a defensive coordinator. They dreaded that game. It almost affected them in whoever they faced the week after Northwestern. I don't think there's that same level of angst on the opponent's side. And Northwestern, given its history, given the fact that you're going to have some limitations in who you can recruit, you have to have more of a schematic edge than they have right now. And you have to have a quarterback who's reliable. And that just hasn't been the case for three of the last 4 years.
Yeah, obviously I'm a little biased for running quarterbacks, but I couldn't agree more. You look around the top teams in college football, there's not many with quarterbacks that can't run. And if they can't run, they're at the top of the standings with great offensive lines, which Northwestern has been solid, but struggled a little bit. When you look around kind of the Big Ten, specifically the Big Ten West, where do you see kind of that race shaking out? I know Illinois is still at the top, but that loss to Michigan State is going to hurt them, and they still have Michigan to play. But any idea or guess how that's going to shake out?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, it would be such a shame for Illinois to essentially have two opportunities at home to all but close out the division and lose both of them. They obviously lost one of them against Michigan State, a team that is dealing with massive suspensions and kind of a dark cloud over its program, and Illinois loses to them, even though they dominated on much of the stat sheet. Now they get Purdue coming in, Purdue's coming off of a poor performance against Iowa. And so if Illinois can't win this game, I think it opens it right back up for whoever wins the Wisconsin-Iowa game, which is usually the biggest game in the division every year. Those two teams, along with Northwestern, have been the ones that are contending for the West Division year after year. Wouldn't count out Minnesota either, because they have both those teams left down the stretch. But Illinois, it's still in their court if they can just take care of business, because they have the tiebreaker advantage over both Wisconsin and Iowa. So it's going to be really interesting to see if the Illini, who haven't been in this position before, feeling a little bit of pressure coming off of last week's loss, going against the Purdue team with a really good quarterback and Aiden O'Connell, really good receiver, and Charlie Jones. But Iowa shut down Purdue last week in those same blustery conditions. So can the nation's top defense, which has been so good all year, against the run, against the pass, taking the ball away, they've been outstanding, the Illini have. Will that unit rise up and Illinois win a game that I believe will essentially clinch them the division? So that it's still Illinois' division to lose, but if they lose this weekend, it opens right back up.
Yeah, they got the 4-0 record against the Big Ten West, but as you mentioned, just two more games in the division with Purdue, and boy, wouldn't it be something if they come into Ryan Field the Saturday after Thanksgiving and Northwestern's in position to spoil the party for them. I'm not saying they will, but that still is a possibility, right?
Absolutely. Illinois, we know, is going to enter a game next week where they'll be heavy underdogs against Michigan on the road. Mm-hmm. Two teams that play really good defense, two teams that run the ball at a high level. Chase Brown has been exceptional. Blake Corum is in the Heisman Trophy conversation for Michigan. But it's a game that most people will say will go the Wolverines' way. And if that's the case, Illinois would then have a chance to close it out at Evanston. It's been the other way around. As you guys know, for a number of years, Northwestern's been the better team, the team with something to play for, whereas Illinois would have something that they've never played for on the line with the West Division title. So certainly would add a little bit of intrigue to the game as they play for the Land of Lincoln Trophy.
Great stuff. Adam, always great to catch up with you. You can follow Adam at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. And we appreciate it. It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend and the two that follow heading up to the Big Ten Championship game first weekend in December. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. It's Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, senior writer, and Some interesting stuff, interesting points. Yeah, you look at the Big Ten West, Dan, Illinois 4-2 in the conference, but 4-0 in the division. Then you've got four teams all 3-3, and with Iowa, Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Purdue's got the game against the Illini. Then they host Northwestern, then play the old Oaken Bucket game at Indiana the following week. And it's one of those years where you look at the standings, you think it's really too bad Northwestern couldn't have won a couple of these games. They'd be right in the middle of it right now with all these teams at 3-3.
No, I agree. And I think, they had opportunities, if they played a little bit better, closer games out, to be right there. So it is frustrating, especially when there wasn't a dominant team in the West this year.
Well, let's bring in a guy who certainly has made an impact for the Wildcats, coming out of the backfield, catching passes. He joined the Cats last year as a transfer from Bowling Green University out of St. Louis originally. It's Andrew Clare. Andrew, thanks for joining us. Dave Ennett, Dan Persa, how you doing?
Yes, sir, I'm good. I'm doing real good. Thank you for having me.
What's the mood been like this week in Evanston after that Ohio State game last week?
The mood has been just finding a way to win, finding a way to do our job every play, finding a way to just do your 111. Like, last week was a real confidence booster. Just shows like the talent we have, the potential we have, and just knowing that once we put everything together, like, we'll be a force to reckon with for years to come.
Who do you think got more of a boost last week? The offense, the running game, your guys, Evan Hall and Cam Porter and you, or the defense?
I really think everybody got a boost, to be honest. The defense slowed down a team that puts up 45 points a game. They slowed down a running game with – they have two good bits over there. They was able to stop the run for the most part. Offensively, we was able to run the ball. We was able to establish a line of scrimmage. We was able to compete. So just the team as a whole had a whole confidence booster. And it really just goes to show you that once everyone does their job, each and every play, how good we can be.
Andrew, give us a little bit of a thumbnail on your path to Northwestern. From St. Louis, you go to Bowling Green, you play there for 3 years, and now 2 seasons playing for the Wildcats. How'd that all come about?
So my path is kind of, I wouldn't say unique, but everyone has a different route to get to where they want to be. So obviously my dreams are playing, is to play in the league. So I played as a true freshman, a true sophomore at Bowling Green State University. And then my head coach lost his job of my sophomore year, so the middle of my season. And then a new staff came in. That's Coach Leffler, who's there now. And he redshirted me as like kind of like roster management, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
He redshirted me. So I then became redshirt junior the next year, when it should have been my senior year. So 2020 was cool. And I also lost my sister in 2020. So. There were a lot of factors playing into me wanting to transfer. One was me wanting to completely restart, reset. Another was getting closer to home. And then another was just finding a way to get to where I want to get. I know Bowling Green wasn't doing the best for me in that aspect. So then I chose to transfer to Northwestern, and I have no regrets. I'm happy I came here. I got a great degree, been around great people, great coaches, great teammates, just all around was just a better lifestyle for me.
Really unusual that you would come in as a transfer and be elected a captain in your second year with a team. That has to be a huge honor for you.
It is. It's still surreal to this moment. It's a huge honor, a huge achievement. Just thankful for my teammates for putting me in this spot. Thankful for the coaches. Just thankful for everyone who has played a part in helping me grow to become the person that I am. Me just being a light in other people's lives and just knowing that I am just helps me keeps me going. Just knowing how much impact I can have on someone else. Allows me to be the best that I can be day in and day out.
I know the outcome at Maryland was disappointing, but that drive to the game-tying touchdown, that kind of became the Andrew Clare drive. Is that the highlight of your time at Northwestern?
I wouldn't say it's the highlight, but it's definitely up there. The crazy thing is, I would say probably 2 drives before that, Coach Fitz told me, he was like, you're going to make a big play in this game. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to be a really big play. And then 2 drives later, that happens. So just knowing that he trusts me, the team trusts me, the team believes in me, I say that's how. just having that trust, having that belief from the team, just in all different aspects, that's the highlight. Probably being a captain. I like captain is the highlight.
Andrew, we appreciate your time and just getting off the practice field. I know. Thanks for jumping on with us, and good luck this weekend at Minnesota.
Yes, thank you for having me, and we do appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for the time. That's Andrew Clare, co-captain of the Wildcats, number 11, and interesting story. You know, you don't hear that all that often, Dan, a guy who transfers in and all of a sudden you look around, he's captain on the team, and he's gotten a significant number of carries this year. He came in, I think, as somebody they felt could really help a young backfield, and I know last year they were really glad they had him, especially when they lost Cam Porter to injury before the season.
Agreed, and you can tell, you know, he's a very strong personality, a great kid, and not shocking that his teammates look up to him and voted him captain. He kind of reminds me of, you know, Madani Navarro, just been there at the program a little bit longer, but very senior guy, works hard, has the respect of all of his teammates. So I'm happy that he's happy at Northwestern, enjoying his experience.
The guy who I think really continues to open eyes every week is Evan Hall. And I thought some of the plays he made running out of the the Wildcats some on Saturday, which was new for him because it's been strictly Cam Porter in the Wildcat up until then. But not just that. It just seems like everything he does, he's able to break tackles and has that second gear he throws it into, can accelerate. He's got great vision. Really, I think he's going to continue to be an underrated guy in this conference. I mean, because people look around and, I mean, he doesn't get the pub that a lot of guys get, but it's pretty impressive to see what he's done.
Yeah, I agree. He seems like an NFL back just because of everything he can do and the size that he has. And again, it's a shame that Northwestern isn't a little bit better this year because I think he would be, you know, much more highlighted and spotlighted. But again, I think he has, you know, all the tools in the world. He never gets brought down by the first guy. He makes people miss. He breaks tackles. He can catch the ball. Great top end speed. So I think, again, depending if he comes back next year or not, I think he has a bright future regardless of what happens this year.
Well, Minnesota coming up this Saturday up at Huntington Bank Stadium, and this Gophers squad, I think a lot was expected of them coming into the season with Mohammed Ibrahim coming back and Tanner Morgan coming back for another season at quarterback. They got a little bit of a quarterback controversy going now in Minneapolis going into this game, but they're 6-3. They're solidly in that group at 3-3 in the Big Ten West with Iowa, Purdue, and Wisconsin a game behind the Illini, who did beat them in Champaign. But this is a team, you know, they've had those bad losses early in the year, you know, as the Cats have had a few over the years, but they had one last year. They've managed to avoid that this year. They did suffer the loss to the Illini, I mentioned. They lost at home to Purdue, and they also had a rather one-sided game, I think, I want to say, against Penn State. But, you know, they've managed to keep themselves afloat here, a really solid performance against Rutgers. They shut them out 2 weeks ago, got down last week at Nebraska, and came back and won that game behind their backup quarterback. So this will be a good test. That Northwestern defense, which did a good job against Ohio State's offense on Saturday in the weather conditions, regardless, they're going to have their hands full stopping that Minnesota running attack.
It's a very experienced team, and at the end of the day, as things get colder, what do you want in college football? You want a good offensive line,
right,
a solid defense, and an experienced quarterback, which they have for the most part. Their defense has been up and down, but they have one of the better offensive lines, you know, in the Big Ten, maybe even the country, just because, looking at the size of these guys. So I think, you know, especially as you get late in November, this is a team to watch because of their ability to kind of play ball control, not turn it over if Tanner Morgan's playing well. So I agree. For Northwestern, it's another great test, specifically for their run defense, which has been up and down this year. So hopefully they're ready for it.
All right. Well, you know what we're ready for? We're ready for Super Joe's prediction.
Prediction.
Super Joe's predictions.
All right, fellas. Much like Dan, I'm playing hurt. A little under the weather, but I'm also sick. Sick of losing. Three losses in a row is unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. And I take full responsibility. And I'm going in a weird way here. I'm following our guy Adam Rittenberg, who talked about Illinois and this being a de facto Big Ten West divisional championship game. At home, in front of the crazies down there in Champaign, I think that they not only win, but they cover that 6.5-point spread.
Really?
And kind of lock in their spot in Indianapolis. Yeah, I don't know what it was last week against Michigan State. That team, that was a bit of a surprising result. But I do think that they get the motivation. They look ahead at the rest of their schedule, and this is the winnable game here. You got to lock it down. With the win, they would then give themselves, because of the tiebreakers, at least two games spread. So Illinois has a lot to play for this weekend in front of their home fans. I think they cover that 6.5 against Purdue.
All right. Well, I think you're right. They do have a lot to play for. Purdue has not looked good. Certainly didn't look good last week. Kind of surprising, even though you look at who they're playing, and it accounts for some of that, the struggles they had offensively. But That's an offense that's tough to shut down, and they got shut down. So, and now they're playing a defense, which all they've done is shut people down all year, except at times last week.
Right. Yeah, you got that exactly right, Dave. And I don't know what I'm speechless, honestly, over what happened against Michigan State last week. But they're undefeated against the West, and they're 0-2 against the East. That's crazy.
With, by the way, another undefeated team waiting for them.
Oh, yeah.
At least undefeated at the moment, so next week. All right. We'll see what happens in Champaign. We'll see what happens in Minneapolis on Saturday, the Wildcats and the Golden Gophers. It's a 2:30 kickoff. We've got it for you on WGN Radio, 2 o'clock Central Time on Saturday afternoon. Dan Persa, have a great week, and hopefully when we speak next week, we'll be looking ahead to Purdue and possible two-game winning streak for the Cats. What do you think?
Sounds great. Bring it home, Dave, up in Minneapolis.
And we'll do our best. We'll try to stay warm up there. Feel better. Joe, feel better. That's going to do it for Collegiately Speaking. Many thanks to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, and thanks to Andrew Clare from Northwestern. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett, and thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.